Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether it's your first time joining us or you've been here all your life, we are so glad that you are here with us today. We have a lot of exciting things coming up in the church and a lot of announcements. So would you like to get us started?
Good morning, everybody. I'm just up here to let the ladies know that I'm going to be in the fellowship hall today collecting your $20 for the women's retreat, probably for the next two Sundays till the 26th of October, because it's on Saturday, November 1st at the Notre Dame Retreat Center in Canandaigua. It's going to be a lot of fun. Right now we've got about 23 women signed up. You still can sign up. And one thing I want to mention is a lot of us have talked about going to dinner somewhere in Canandaigua afterwards. So when you give me your money, if you're interested in going to dinner afterwards, we finish at 4 o'clock on the 1st. You can just let me know if you want to go to dinner, and I'll keep a tally, and we'll figure out where we're going to go. Thanks.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Dykes, and I'm here on behalf of the Youth Committee. We had a very successful wheel-a-thon last Sunday, but there are still youth that need to collect their pledges. So youth, please stay at one of the wheel-a-thon tables after worship so people can find you. Also, I know most of you have access to telephones of some sort, so if you have a name and a phone number, it doesn't hurt to call the person and remind them that they made a pledge. And if you can't find a youth after church and you want to put your money in the office or give it to Tracy, please put your name and the reason for it in an envelope or some sort so we can keep all of this straight. So thank you very much.
Good morning, Peter Derry, Spiritual Journeys Committee. Two things. Today we leave for Herd Orchards around 1 o'clock. So if you're going to go to Herd Orchards, to see what's involved in running an orchard, and it's part of our spiritual bread journey, 1 o'clock in the parking lot. On Wednesday, October 29th, the Rural and Migrant Ministries is sponsoring an educational symposium. Read your Harbinger, read your bulletin today, and if you're interested in having a ticket for the dinner, we would see Reverend DeRosier. Thank you.
Good morning. A few announcements that I have this morning. First, if you received a letter and hopefully have already picked up your binders, confirmands, we are going to be on an amazing faith journey. It begins with you, your parents, and also your sponsors next Sunday, right here after worship. So we will see you then. And then following confirmation at 12:30, I know that there is a wonderful, faithful group that is excited to learn more about our trip to Jamaica. So those traveling to Jamaica in February, we will be meeting together. We'll have lunch in the fellowship hall and then probably go to the youth lounge to meet for our first round of orientation. And an announcement from Al. For St. Joseph's, we are serving at St. Joseph's House of Hospitality next week. We are in need of lettuce and cupcakes. Wanted to make sure that you didn't think I was asking for lettuce cupcakes. Lettuce and cupcakes. You don't have to make the cupcakes, nor do you really have to frost them. You can buy them, and they can put them all together when we get down there. We can frost them if you run out of time. But on the kiosk, you will see more information. Please sign up and have that brought in by Friday. Okay, I have one last announcement. I am going to take off my pastor hat and put on my mom hat. Don't worry, I'm not going to yell at you. If you are a parent of a Sunday school child And like me, you received a folder that looks like this, and it maybe got lost in a pile on your counter, too. You are not the only one, but the Young Children's Committee does need you to fill out the information on the inside and return it back to church. So if you have not done so, like me, it's not too late. So fill it out and bring it to the office. Are there, and Katie has some announcements too.
One thing, youth group's going to be meeting next week for a haunted hayride. So we'll be meeting here at the church at 6, riding out together, having a great time, and getting back around 8:30.
Together.
Good morning. Would you stand as able and join me in the call to worship that you will find printed in your bulletin? We are each on a path of faith.
We are on a path together.
Can we trust God to stay with us on this path?
We have set out in faith. We will risk going to new places and God's eyes.
We will care for each other on our path. How do we prepare for our travel?
We worship and praise the God who waits for us all.
Will you join me now in the prayer of confession? Holy God, you brought us into life and bless us with your grace, and yet our trust in you is fragile, easily crushed by our indifference. We dismiss your faithfulness as a result of our forgetfulness. Our trust is easily broken by the slightest pause. An answer to prayer not instantly given, or a request for peace not immediately felt. We long for visible proof of your love and cling to self-sufficiency and illusions instead of being open to your still small voice. Forgive our impatience and open us to kindness in the face of fear and fighting. Let us now confess our silent prayers together. Amen. Ever-present God, you never leave us. Help us to stay with you when we are tempted to flee, and keep us seeking after your truth. God's peace surpasses our worry, and God's grace will guide our hearts and minds in Christ's way. Thanks be to God.
At this time, the children are invited to come forward. Good morning. Hi. Let's see, which way should we face today? This way? This way? This way. Okay. Is it right here? Good morning. Good morning, friends. Good morning. You guys feel very far away. You can move up a little if you want. So before I share the story with you all this morning that we are going to read in worship and you guys are going to talk about in Sunday school, I first have a question. Have you ever had to wait? Oh my goodness. You've had to wait before? Yes. What a of you had to wait. Four. To wait for a turn to play a game? Yes. Wait for the screaming eagle? All right. What else? What else are we waiting for? Before you drink chocolate milk, you have to eat your dinner first. Yes. A dad to build a swing set. So you guys, yes, William, what have you had to wait for? You have to wait for the bathroom a lot. Yes, that happens in my house too. Yes. Have you ever had to wait for your mom or your dad? Uh-huh. Have they ever told you, hold on a minute? Have you ever had somewhere you were so excited to go and your mom and dad said, hold on a second, we got to get things ready? Yes. Today in our story, the Israelite people are waiting. They have escaped Egypt and the very sad place that they were. And God, through Moses, has told them, we're going to go somewhere really awesome, and it's going to be exciting, but you got to wait a minute. And the people are going, what? Moses travels up on top of a mountain to talk to God, and the people start to get real antsy. Does that ever happen to you? When you have to wait, you get antsy and maybe a little wiggly, and then maybe you think that, you know, this waiting stuff is for the birds. I'm going to do something else instead, which is what the people did. The people took all of their jewelry and they melted it down and made a golden calf. And they thought, you know what, since God and Moses are taking such a long time, we're going to have a party with this cow instead. Oh, it was not such a good idea. Moses and God were not very happy. And Moses and God had to spend a lot of time talking about all those promises that God made to God's people. And Moses had to come talk to the people and say, waiting isn't always a bad thing. I know. And we'll keep reading stories this year from the Old Testament about how the people go all crazy because waiting's so hard. Can we pray together? Let's pray together. Can I make sure we hear your voices today? It's great when we can pray together. You ready? Dear God, we love you. We will try our best to wait. Help us. Amen. You guys are welcome to go back to your Sunday school classes with your professor if you know how to find your way.
Reading of the word today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 1 to 14. Listen now for the word of God. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, come, make gods for us, who shall go before us. For as this Moses, this man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Aaron said to them, take off the gold rings that are on your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf, and they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord. They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I have commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God, and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people. It's the word of God.
Yeah.
amen and thank you. Our second reading of the Word from the New Testament comes from Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. This is titled, We Gather Together. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Iota and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me the work of the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, wherever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever other ancient authorities read on the Lord, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep of doing of the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you.
Will you pray with me? Lord, inspire us today as we hear your word. Be inspired to do your will. May plant a seed with the love within our hearts. Amen.
It's confession time for me right now. I am terrible at giving or getting directions. You all have given me directions. You have explained to me where to get the best burritos, where to buy fabric, and I have nodded and smiled, and it has gone right over my head. My problem is, I don't really get street names or maps. I can see them, I can smile and nod, and I don't really navigate that way. For me, what's important are landmarks. With landmarks, I can figure out where to turn and where to head to, and without them, I am in trouble. Which also means if you need directions, don't ask me. This worked pretty well for me in Chicago, because Chicago is right next to Lake Michigan, and that is one huge landmark. Living near the lakeshore, it was easy for me to get places. I simply went towards the lake, or away from the lake, and adjusted later. The lake is always east, and Sears Tower is always north, and if you can't see either one of those, then you have bigger problems, really. So I could deal with it. I had landmarks to navigate by, and so I could manage without really having to learn a whole lot of street names. I've been lost before, plenty of times, pretty often around here, but nowhere nearly as badly as the Hebrews in today's passage. They've escaped slavery, and they've left behind Egypt, and with it, all of the landmarks that they knew and depended on. These people have nothing left to navigate by, just an endless expanse of desert that probably looks the same, no matter where you turn. The only guide they have is Moses, who talks to God. Moses tells them that their God loves them, that all of the terrible plagues and bizarre miracles that they've seen have been God's power saving them from slavery. So the Israelites have Moses to direct them towards God and bring them out of Egypt into the Promised Land. But one day Moses goes up on a mountaintop to bring back God's laws for the people. And the people wait for 40 whole days just sitting there in the desert. And they are still waiting, and Moses hasn't come back. The people panic, and I can't really blame them. Moses is their only guide, and he's somewhere way up on a mountaintop and hasn't been seen for days. Without him, they don't have somebody to listen to God and tell them where to go. The people are worried that they're alone out there in the desert, far away from their home and with no landmarks to guide them. So, for better or worse, the people decide to make a landmark of their own. The Hebrews ask Aaron, Moses' own brother, to make gods for them, and they're willing to sacrifice a lot just to have something of their own. They give up all of their jewelry and all of their gold, all the possessions that give them status or might make them feel important. And they pile up all of that finery and all those expensive things and melt them into a golden calf. Aaron shows the Hebrews what they've made and tells them that this calf is the god that brought them out of Egypt, and that to celebrate this new statue, they're going to make a feast and worship the Lord, the same God who's been talking to Moses, which makes no sense. Which God are they talking about here? We honestly don't know if all the people thought that a golden calf was somehow magically actually created to be the God. Maybe some of them did. But we do know that back then, the other religions that lived around them would often build giant statues of gods as symbols of who they worshipped. It sounds like Aaron's trying to have the best of both worlds here. To worship at the feet of a statue that they can see and touch and that will stay with them, and to keep worshiping the same God as always, just through the statue. Well, we've heard the Ten Commandments and the rest of this passage, and we know that that doesn't work. We know that God doesn't want people to worship a pile of jewelry, no matter how fancy it looks. It turns out that saying you worship the God of Abraham and then praying in front of a giant statue is not good. After all, God is more powerful and more important than the Hebrew people. They can't just make something and command that God sit there. They can't put God in one place, especially not a place that looks just like the altars of all the other gods around them. Their God is different and definitely more than a fancy statue. So when the Hebrews try and pretend like their God goes where they say, instead of following God, things get scary quickly. Moses has to plead with God for mercy, all because of this golden calf. It's easy to read the story and think, how dumb could they be? The Israelites had just left Egypt. These are the same people who have seen all of the plagues, and only a few chapters ago they were stuck in slavery. Why would the Hebrew people think that their invisible, powerful God would be okay with this statue? Why couldn't they just wait to hear from Moses about what God wanted from them? Did they really have to make something to serve as their God instead of just worshiping? The story makes more sense when you think about how lost the Israelites were and how scared they were. The Hebrews were far away from home, and they desperately needed something to hold on to, some kind of comfort. We all need that sometimes. When I was growing up, I was afraid of fires, as I think a lot of people are. And so I would take my tape player and my teddy bear and a book or two, wrap it up in my blanket, and carry it with me wherever I went in the house, just in case. If there was ever a fire, I had my favorite things, and I was ready to go out the door with them. Now, did carrying a blanket full of stuff make me any safer? No. But I felt better with something that I could see and touch and hold on to right there with me. So I understand why the Hebrews made a golden calf and wanted to worship it. They were lost out there in the wilderness, and they needed to see exactly where their God was. But as we know from the story, God absolutely hated their calf. God didn't want to have the people worship something they could touch, something that they had made. And God certainly didn't want the people to act like they controlled where God was and where God was not. We're lucky now. God doesn't threaten us when we get obsessed with material things, even though we do it all the time. It feels comforting to think that if we have pretty things or expensive ones, that means that God must be with us, right? We worry about appearances and we cling to possessions that we hope can guide us. It feels like if we can just take care of ourselves and do well, if we just keep getting things and saving for more things and getting those things, then we can live our lives worried without worrying about whether we'll have enough. I do it too. I never go anywhere without my cell phone, even though I've dropped my security blanket. But I admit that a hunk of plastic is only going to help me so much, no matter how much I like it. We even have to make our church look better and better, as if having a beautiful space or expensive decorations will make God like us more, or have people think that God is with us more. But we know that obsessing with material things isn't what God wants from us. The Hebrews figured it out so long ago, and thankfully we can learn from their mistakes. If we use things as our landmarks instead of love or peace, we can wind up being pretty lost. And if we act like God will stay where we feel comfortable, we imagine a God much smaller than the one who made us and loves us. The ancient Israelites learned that God wasn't in a pile of gold or at an altar, but instead God went before them and guided them into the promised land. Today we can't forget that God isn't only in gold or silver, but in bread and wine at communion or in meals shared together. Jesus came to spend time with the lost and the lonely, the people who had no gold to offer but desperately needed someone to hold on to. Throughout the Gospels, he finds the sick and the scared, and he reaches out to guide them in love. God is not confined to one place or one people. Instead, God goes to the poor and the oppressed. God is larger than any altar we can build, and God goes where there is injustice. We're called to do the same. Christ tells us that whatever we do to the least of these, we do unto him. And so as Christians, we should be wherever these people are in need of their support. We should be visiting the sick here in Rochester, protesting racism in Ferguson, fighting hunger in Guatemala. God is with the people who are tired of injustice and determined to change the world. When we need a landmark to steer our lives by, we can look for those people and walk a path with them that treats everyone with love and respect. When we focus on where we're needed, we can find God already there for us. It's not really easy. I can't set my GPS to the least of these or find landmarks like turn left at people feeding the hungry. But our church should be one of those places where we can always find the love and the care that everyone needs. When we set our faith as a landmark and God's love as a turning point, we discover there are so many different ways to be comforted on our paths. May we hold fast to what is good in our lives and be open to God's presence everywhere in the world. Amen.
an interesting experience this morning before worship. A friend of mine texted me, and actually it was a Facebook message, and said, "Melissa, would you hold me in prayer during worship today?" Of course, but I thought, what an amazing thing to do. So I'd like you all to join me in this. If you have a cell phone and you know how to use it, I don't always assume, turn it on. And it's okay. You're allowed. Lightning's not striking. If you know how to text, spend just a few moments in silence. And I would like for you to think of someone who you would like to pray for. And if you don't text and want to pull out a piece of paper and a pen, you can do that too. We can make this inclusive. But we're going to take a few moments, and I would like you to think of that person and pray for them. So write that person's name down if you have the pen, but text them if you would like and say, "I'm holding you in prayer in worship this day." Let's just take a moment, and if your phone beeps and what, it's all good. It's all good. Let's take a moment and offer prayers. And then I encourage you, following worship today, give that person a call. Send them another text or email. And let them know how here in the life of this community, God's prayer surrounds all of God's children, both physically in this place and far outside these walls. You can keep your phone on if you want. If you want to turn it off, please do. If it goes off in the middle of the prayer today, it's okay. It's okay. What other prayers would you like to bring into this space? Who are we praying for today? Dennis is really excited about praying.
I just wanted to do this while I had the nerve. Dennis White, I'd just like to thank God and prayers of thanksgiving as Jennifer, our daughter Jennifer, and her husband Ben brought baby Everett home from the hospital after 77 days in the NICU. Mm. The baby's doing quite well. He's tripled in weight from 2 pounds at birth to 6 pounds now. But we'd like to keep them in prayer as they are still having to deal with premature issues and the loss of Ben's grandfather and, of course, the loss of Everett's brother Parker. Thank you.
Continued prayers for the family.
Jan Buettner, I'd just like to ask prayers for my friend Cindy and her husband John. John had surgery this week for a subdural hematoma on Tuesday and came home from the hospital yesterday. So I was just texting her. So maybe she'll get back to me. But prayers for them for quick healing and for Cindy as she takes care of him and looks after him.
In your mercy, O Lord, hear our prayer. Prayer up here. Linda first.
Linda Sidori. I have a cousin who has ALS. His sister just found out she has cancer again. Mm. And his son-in-law, who has a kidney that was given to him, is now his body is rejecting that. So their family is going through a lot. So I ask for prayers for their family.
I have prayers for Joy. It's my Nana's birthday today.
Prayers for Nana's birthday. Happy birthday.
David Keeling, I don't know if you all know, but it was around a year and a half ago, my grandfather, he had a stroke. And really initially, it didn't even look like he would even walk again. But I just have a prayer of Joy that this Wednesday, he's going to the DMV and he's going to get his license reinstated.
Thanks be to God.
Ed Coons. I'd ask for prayers for my brother Jim, who had open heart surgery on Wednesday, and his family as he recovers. Thank you.
Prayers for your brother.
Sue Mancini. I'd like to represent all the people of my age group who do not have a cell phone, who do not know how to use a cell phone, and are one of those who write with paper and pencil still.
Amen.
Thank you.
You are, amen.
She's alone in that.
Thankfully, God hears our prayers in so many ways. So good.
Gary Dykes, I just wanted to update everyone on Samantha's friend Alyssa. She's doing really well. They just gave her permission for the mother to actually take her out of the hospital to go places and things like that. We stopped and visited the other day. She's in a wheelchair, still has some issues, but just amazing the steps that she's gone through. And to see her smile is just a blessing.
Thanks be to God. Oh, Peter.
I asked for prayers at mega meeting on Tuesday, but this is for a friend of ours we know through Louise at college, and he had cancer and has been in remission for 12, 15 years. And he got news this week that it's back again in a very, very aggressive form. So he would appreciate, he and his family would appreciate our prayers. Thank you.
Continued prayers.
Marge Westfall, I'd like to ask for continued prayers for my granddaughter. She's been in the hospital over a week and she is not recovering as fast as she should be. Thank you.
Continued prayers. And I saw Clarine's hand right here too. All over the place.
Fran Peril, try not to cry. My son is home from China. Past 2 weeks, he brought his girlfriend home with him, and we'd be blessed to have her as a sister-in-law. It's wonderful.
Amen.
He goes back tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Prayers for his journeys.
Clarine Kress, I fell yesterday. I'm joyful it's not a break because I'd been a cast on my ankle for 6 weeks or so, but it is a sprain. And prayers for quick healing. I've got lots of plans coming up in the next 4 weeks. Okay.
Prayers for healing.
There were so many birthdays last week, so I started pushing 90 yesterday.
Yesterday. Right. Happy birthday. One of the great joys of this congregation is when I ask you all to pray, you take it so seriously. What an amazing faith community to be a part of. And then I also ask that you hold the prayers of our children who share with us joys of new swing sets and birthday parties, looking forward to Halloween. A sad concern, a friend from their Sunday school is moving today. Also continued prayers for a grandpa who is healing from a fall. And one of our young children is looking forward to visiting a nursing home tomorrow. All the many joys and concerns they bring, let us continue our time in prayer. Living God, at times you seem so distant. Help us to know you are near. At times we stray, welcome us home. Standing in your presence, we know there are other people we could be with. Help us bridge the gap between your presence and the people we love. Hear, O Lord, the prayers we bring to you. We pray for our church, for Gates Presbyterian, and all that you have in store for us. You have our future in the palm of your hand. Whisper your call into our ears and our hearts, and grant us the courage to follow what we hear. Grant us wisdom to know when we get off track, but most of all, grant us the faith and the patience to keep on moving and loving, remembering and renewing. This morning we pray for all those whom your presence feels so far away. We pray for the family of Matt Reznak, the young man who fell and died this week from Penfield. We pray for those facing health challenges, difficult diagnosis, family struggles, for those who are in prison, hungry, homeless, and oppressed. We pray for those living in communities where war and violence is a constant threat, and for those refugees seeking safe places to rest. God, help us to rejoice in you even when we don't feel like doing it. Help us not to be so anxious about things, and instead help us to talk to you about our needs and our requests. Help us to remember, O God, we can do all things through you who give us strength. In the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we now continue our time of worship, celebrating from the abundance of God's blessing and offering back to God a portion of those blessings. Let us worship God this morning as we collect the offering.
Let us pray. Giving is an act of faith. We believe that what we have to offer makes a difference in this world. But more than that, we believe in you, the one who is behind our giving. This money is yours, God, a portion of our time, talent, and treasures. Help us to use it wisely and know your grace. Lord, help us to really see what you can do and what we can do with you and how much we have to offer. Empower us with the presence of your Holy Spirit. These things we pray through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Now go out into the world in peace. Love God, serve your neighbor. Remember that no matter where you are, God's love is there to guide us, now and forevermore. Amen.